Well, it's the 91st running of the Indianapolis 500. We're in Gasoline Alley. Pat Sullivan with another IndyCast with Bones Butcher, noted motor sports writer. And Bones, you've covered races and people really throughout the United States, but there's still something special about Indianapolis.
I thought about that today. You know, I was at a USAC race yesterday in Iowa, and yet pulling in here this morning, you know, you're hectic trying to get over here, and you're so consumed and just going through the morning stuff that, you know, you don't always think until you go come through the gates that, you know, boy, we're here. You know, you hear Tom Carnegie interviewing AJ this morning, and to watch the Foyt and friends celebration this morning was just outstanding. You know, the hair on your arms kind of stands up, and no matter how many times you come here, it's always going to be a special place.
Bones, you grew up around modifying, racing, et cetera, in the Northeast, but still, the pull of Indianapolis reaches boundless.
Yeah, I don't know. In my case, just since I was a little kid, you know, when you used to listen to the radio broadcast and then watch the tape delayed race on ABC that night, you know, I would listen to the whole thing, and then we'd go to a race at Oswego, New York in the afternoon, and then go home, scramble back home and or back to the hotel and watch the broadcast that night. Indy's just always been the number one thing in my life, you know, this place and this race, and the 500's like that for so many of us. It gets into your skin, and it never goes away.
There are some that have acted as if it's lost its relevance to some degree, and yet on race day, there's that same emotional pull, I would take it.
I think anybody who thinks that probably hasn't been here. You know, it might be easy to make that judgment if you're looking from the outside. You know, it's a changing world, and there's other forms of racing and other sports that have gotten bigger, but you know, you come here even on opening day and you watch people that nearly have tears in their eyes when they watch a guy like AJ take a ceremonial lap in a pace car. And I don't know any other kind of racing or any other sports event that that has that kind of annual pull. You know, you don't hear about people going to 50 World Series baseball games in a row or 50 years of NBA championship games. But there are people that come back here year after year for the 500 and plan to never do anything different. You know, I can't imagine ever spending May anywhere but here.
Bones, you've done a lot of work with some personalities of the sport, read some books on the likes of a Tony Stewart or Richie Evans, diverse people indeed. But what is it about race drivers? What of it that intrigue you?
They're all very different people. I mean, I'm fortunate in that the guys I've written about, books about, have all been very different personalities, but they've all been strong personalities. You know, some of them were hellraisers like Bill Simpson, and other guys are just you know, super intense like a Tony Stewart. So, you know, they're all very driven people, or else they wouldn't have succeeded in a sport like this. But they are a breed apart. You know, they do what they do, and we do what we do. You know, they perform, and we watch them.
The most amazing entire experience, you're down here in the pit area with maybe as talented pavement racer on the short track that we've ever seen in Dave Steele. Racing has appeal really at multiple levels.
Yeah, I mean, I love the short track stuff, and you watch a guy like Dave, who's a, you know, like you said, probably as good a sprint and midget driver as there is, especially on the pavement, and yet he comes here, and he's probably like a little kid watching some of this stuff. You know, he's driven some Indy cars in the past, but there's, you know, again, there's just something about this place. It's a beautiful day. It's the month of May. You know, what else do you want to be doing?
You're very close with a guy named Davey Hamilton, and you were with him when he went through his very difficult rehab process, and now he's prepared and is out on the track as we speak, trying to find speed. Your thoughts about that as a friend, but also someone who understands the sport?
You know, once he got better to the point where it looked like he might be able to do this, I was almost wishing he didn't want to, just because, you know, having seen up close what he went through, you know, poor guy, I mean, 25 or 6 different surgeries, and not just that, but the immense pain that you saw him in, and, you know, the crippling injuries and all that. And even this morning I was thinking, you know, I almost wish Davey wasn't running over there, because it's one less person you got to worry about. We only have good friends. But then I didn't get out to pit road when he was strapping in. I wanted to. I got busy talking to a guy, and I ducked in and was watching on a monitor. And just, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. It's just, you know, I know how important it is for him. So who am I to wish he wasn't doing it? You know, I mean, I'm just happy as an heck for him. And he looked like he was running really good. I mean, he was up to 216, 217 already. You know, he was so successful at all, you know, just about everything he tried as a race driver, that it's good that he can come back and kind of complete this on his own terms, instead of, you know, like he's joked in the past, he didn't want to get flown by a helicopter ambulance out of his last IndyCar race. This way he can climb out at the end of the day, hopefully, and say he's had enough, or you know, maybe come back and do it again. Who knows? But there's that mixture of apprehension and pride, and just if that's what he wants to do, I'm glad he's doing it.
You get to see racers at multiple levels, not just the cardboard characters that we make of them on TV. You take a guy like a Tony Stewart or a Dave Steele or a Davey Hamilton, you see beneath these individuals to a certain degree, and they're more complex at times than we'd like to believe.
Yeah, they're all real people. I mean, you know, you mentioned Tony. I mean, there's people that either love Tony or hate him based on what they see on TV. The ones that hate him because they think he's a bad guy or a loudmouth, you know, he's as nice and as good-hearted a guy as you know. That you'll ever meet. You know, he's like a big kid, but there's people that only know that bad side of him from TV. There's guys that know other racers from TV because they think they're good guys because they smile all the time, and some of those guys are the biggest pains in the neck you'll ever meet. But yeah, they're complex people, and they're all fun. You know, they're all like I said before, they're all driven, and there's something about them that sets them apart. You know, it isn't just the ability behind the wheel, but it's that willingness to go through all the sacrifices that you have to get. That you have to go through to get to this level.
What's your next project?
I don't know yet. You know, I've done some books on some regional guys back east, the guys that were heroes of mine growing up, and those were more labors of love than anything else. But just doing a little magazine work here and there for Dick Bergen's magazine, and I kind of put everything on hold during the month of May. Just come here and watch the Indy 500.
Well, Boyce, you're one of the best in the business.